Hanson from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. We left off yesterday at the 42nd chapter. However, we're going to have to go back a few verses to get what the 42nd chapter is speaking of, because there's a little bit there that if we take it up right where it's at, it will kind of be a little confusing. So let's go ahead and back it up just a hair and look it over here where we left off. And then Johanan, son of Kareah, and all of the commands, this is in the 16th verse of the 41st chapter. The forces that were with him took him from Mizpah, and all of the remnant of the people whom he had answered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had struck down Gedaliah. See, remember, he struck down Gedaliah, killed him. The son of Ahiakim, that is, the men who were soldiers, the women, the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they went and stayed in Geruth Chimham, which is beside Bethlehem, in order to proceed to Egypt. Because the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, since Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. Then all of the commanders of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshiah, and all of the people, both small and great, approached and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please let our petition come before you, and pray for us to the Lord your God, that is, for all this remnant, because we are left but a few out of many. Your own eyes can now see us, that the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk, and the thing that we should do." You know, it's a little bit late to do this now, don't you think? It's a little late, and I guess it's never too late, better late than never, but did they even desire to please God? That's what I'd like to know. I don't think so. I think they were just more or less trying to test God, see what was going to happen. But I don't think any of them were really interested in obeying God. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I am going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with your words, and I will tell you the whole message which the Lord will answer you. I will not keep anything back. I'll not keep back a word from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you to us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen to the voice of the Lord our God." Yeah, now you're going to listen. We'll see. "And to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. Now, at the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah." 10 days later. "Then he called for Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all of the commanders of the forces that were with him, and for all of the people, both small and great, and said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. And I will plant you and not uproot you. For I will relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will also show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your own soil. But if you are going to say, we will not stay in this land, so as to listen to the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go on into the land of Egypt, where we will not see war, nor hear the sound of a trumpet, or hunger for bread, and we will stay there. Then, in that case, listen to the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go in to reside there, then the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you there in Egypt, in the land of Egypt. And the famine about which you are anxious will follow closely after you there in Egypt, and you will die there. Did you get that? If you don't obey me, you're going to die. That's as simple as that. So all the men who set their mind to go into Egypt to reside there will die there by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And they will have no survivors or refugees from the calamity that I'm going to bring on them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my wrath have been poured out on this and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you will become a curse, an object of horror, an imprecation, and a reproach, and you will see this place no more. The Lord has spoken to you, O remnant of Judah. Do not go into Egypt. You should clearly understand that today I have testified against you. Now, you see, God knows. He knows whether these people are going to obey him or not. Remember, God knows everything. He's not ignorant of any of what they were going to do in advance. God knows exactly how they're going to act. Now remember that, because, you know, we might think, oh, God doesn't know what they're going to do. But yes, he does. He knows exactly what these people are going to do. For you have only deceived yourselves, for it is you who sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord our God says, tell us so, and we will do it. So I have told you today, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God, even in whatever he has sent me to tell you. That tells the whole story right there, doesn't it? Therefore, you should now clearly understand that you will die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place where you wish to reside. See, he already knew, discerning of spirits and discerning what was going on, he already knew. And this is what was going to happen. You're going to die by the sword, by the famine, pestilence, in the place where you wish to reside. You know, why would they ask something if they were not going to do what God wanted them to do? Johanan and the associates spoke their own curse. Jeremiah merely elaborated on it. It was a tragic mistake to ask for God's guidance with no intention of following it. Be sure never to ask God for something that you know in your heart you really don't want in the first place. It's better not to pray than to pray hypocritically and not do what God tells you. God can't be deceived. God cannot be fooled. You think for a moment that God is going to, okay, you really intend to obey me, but then go the exact opposite direction? Asking, oh, we'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, let us know. Whatever it takes. And you tell them, whatever it takes. And then they go the opposite direction. If you can imagine that. The exact opposite. Could you tell us what we need to do to get God's favor? And then he tells you, and then all of a sudden, you do the exact opposite. You don't do anything else. If you can imagine that kind of dedication to God, just do the exact opposite. Oh, well, you know, we got what we came for. Now we're going to do our way. We're going to do our own thing, so whatever. You know, they did not have it in their capacity to do the right thing. They were so deceived by Satan and by their worship of idols and by their worship of all kinds of evil things. They were deceived by themselves. They couldn't do what's right. They did not have the capacity to do what was right. It wasn't within them. Now, if that don't get you, nothing will. They didn't have the capability to follow God. They couldn't follow him if they wanted to, because they were so deceived by their own sin. You see, sin has a way of deceiving a person, and strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They were walking in delusion. They couldn't obey God if they wanted to. Now, I know that's confusing. It really is. But that's the truth. They didn't have it within them. You know, when you don't follow God in the first place, you won't follow God anyway. Doesn't matter. You will not follow God regardless. Because if you're so wrapped up in sin and you think you're going to, oh, I'm going to do what God wants me. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're fooling yourself. Get it right. Dedicate your life to God right now and make sure that you're not trying to fool God into thinking that you're some kind of a good guy. Let's dedicate our lives right now and let's start afresh and anew regardless. Let's don't put God on the spot and say, okay, I'm going to fool God anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. So regardless of what you say, let's rededicate our life right now. Lord Jesus, say that. Pray it. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I rededicate my life completely to you. I ask that you help me to rid myself of these temptations and everything that tries to boggle me and lay aside these sins and weights that does so easily beset me. And let me run this race with patience that is set before me. Oh God, help me, forgive me, cleanse me, and cover me with your blood, and help me to do what you say and not what I want. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Let's take up this, 42nd chapter tomorrow, and 43rd chapter tomorrow. So you be sure and stay tuned. And go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening, and please write to us and let us know. If you'd like to help us and support us, go ahead. If not, it's okay. We'll just, nobody takes a salary here or anything else, so just so you know. So write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hanson saying, study. Show yourself approved to God.